World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got to give you a fair warning. I'm a little bit of withdrawal. I just realized that 2 days without Coach Dave live in the morning, that's tough for me, man. I wake up on Monday morning and I'm ready to rock and ready to roll. And I hope you guys feel the same way. I got some good stuff today. I always say that. But Lord, just pray that the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today. Not about us. Let our lives bring glory and honor to you, Lord. Before you get diving in, don't forget the annual June 12th Father's Day weekend. I know it's Father's Day weekend. We're going to have some information ready for you this week. I promise you we'll get it up there. We'd love for you to come. Look. Before I get too far, and if Mike Blake out there or Serge out there or Dave Allison out there or Clay out there or whatever. Let me ask you something. One of you guys, throw your hand up in the air here in a minute. Mel, I'll get to you in a second there, Mel. Hey, you guys encouraged by being around men this morning? You guys had like a little men's getaway. Are you encouraged by that? Anybody, Serge, one of you, somebody? Was that a good thing? Do men need to be around men more? Do we even know what that's like? I'm waiting to hear from them. Go ahead, Mel.
Hey, good morning, everybody. So I want to let you know the tent arrived at my house this weekend. So it's exciting. We've got a 14-person, two-room tent. So, I was thinking is we were originally thinking about getting two tents, one for men, one for women. But if we have men and women that want to stay in the tent, we could just make it two rooms and men could be on one side and ladies could be on the other.
Look, so you don't have to get a hotel, folks. You can use the showers in Sky High. You can do all that stuff. But just sleeping. Yeah. We got a tent. And if there are more people that want to do it, we'll get another tent. Men on one side of it, women on another side. Or we could get another and just men in one tent and women in another tent. We want to make it economical for you. We want you to be able to come. So
thanks, we'll Coach. I do want to say one thing. You had mentioned that it's a 30-person tent. It's a 14-person tent. So that's okay. I just want to be realistic. It's not huge. This one is pretty heavy. But anyway, it's just the tent, though. So if you're interested in that, you'd need to bring your own sleeping bag pillow. If you want to sleep on any kind of an air mattress or a cot, feel free to bring that. But the Liberty Action Network is going to provide the tent. So I hope some of you guys take advantage of that. Thanks.
Yeah, we'd love for you to do it. Come on, folks. I'm telling you. Dave Allison, I know Dave. What'd you enjoy about this weekend? Dave was one of those guys that snuck away with a little men's retreat. There were only about six of them. They didn't get my approval. They didn't ask my approval. They just all kind of got together at Mike Blake's house. And Dave, you got something to say about that?
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. I want to encourage you for the annual, and it's kind of interesting. Again, as a church goer for all these years and going to different fellowships, to be really candid with you, and I'm not trying to blow smoke up Coach's skirt, but I've not had this kind of a deep fellowship with men. And what was interesting, it was just kind of spontaneous. A couple guys says, hey, what are you doing this? We're going to get together. Anybody interested? And it was just, it happened to work out, but we got together and it was just a really rich fellowship with guys that I can trust, and that's hard to find in this society.
Oh, boy.
So that's the key word, is people you can trust.
Amen.
We went to Jeff's garage, talk about people you can trust and admire. Jeff Klein, we got a chance to go to the church in the garage, and for me, that was on my bucket list. And, what a great time of fellowship. But again, I want to encourage people, if you're looking for some deep fellowship, some relationship with people you can trust. You can find them here in Pass the Salt. Thanks for letting me share.
Amen. 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 It's all about relationships. And for those of you who say, daggone, I wish I'd known about it. Well, it wasn't really an organized thing. They just kind of called each other. And next thing you know, there were five of them that came in. And it's great. It's great. So don't feel offended if you didn't get invited. Maybe do that where you, maybe do that in Oklahoma. Maybe do that in Georgia. Maybe get some guys down there. Men need fellowship. I'm going to really get into this today, okay? It's going to going to step on some toes, but that's okay. I'm a toe stepper, I guess. Go ahead, Jeff Klein, quickly. Jeff, that in quickly if you're going to get in here. We'll get back to him. Okay, I'm going to play this morning. I got thinking about this. Why won't men go to church? Or, better yet, hang on a minute, Spencer. Holy Spirit just changed something. Pull up number two. Talking to Christian men now. Nothing against women. I love women. I'm married one. I love women. Okay? But there's something about when men get together that is far different than when men and women get together. It's different. It's a different dynamic. Something different when women get together than when men get together. Right? And are we purposefully teaching in America anymore? Are we teaching male, female characteristics to our children anymore? Are we? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me today. Okay. I came across this, folks. Dearborn, Michigan. See if this reminds you of modern American evangelicalism. Go ahead and play that.
شعب وامرأة درة ولؤلؤة اي درة ولؤلؤة اعظم تجارة بيوم الزيارة الله لحظة غير
Look how young they are. Young man.
الله لكن تعطر موكبة من قبل ضيف وعزب اشمع حلاها محلاها المشاية ملح الخارطة والموكب فراش وغطش محلاها محلاها إذا كنت عطر موكبة من طول ضيف وعزب
محلاها. That's enough of it. When's the last time you got together with a group of men like that, with your sons, with your young sons, and did manly things in church? When's the last time at your Saturday morning men's breakfast you did anything masculine? I'll wait. I'll wait for the answer. What does it even mean to be masculine anymore? And is masculinity, is it a poison that's not welcomed? That's where I'm heading today. The feminization of American Christianity. I'm going to confess, okay?
I
have to say that, Lord. I have to say it. Because I know there are a lot of faithful pastors plowing, digging. I know. I take the worst spirit with me when I go to a local church. I take the worst spirit. Because you know what I see play this again. To me, this ought to be Christian men. Play this again. Do you see Christian men doing this? Just play it right from there. Do you see Christian men doing this anywhere in America? Christian men. From the river. The women stand over themselves as the men. How come the men aren't out rescuing unborn children? Can somebody explain that to me? Where are the men? Hey, where are the men? You go to your men's breakfast on Saturday morning. Is this what you get? Or you sit around, share each other's feelings? Now look, there's nothing wrong with sharing one another's feelings, okay? Nothing wrong with that. It's good. It's really, really good. In fact, it validates a man to sit around with another man and understand, yeah, I'm struggling with that too. Yeah, I'm struggling with that too. I don't know what to do about it. I'm struggling with it. Yeah, I know. So see, a woman can validate a man in one way, but only another man can validate another man. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. And we don't have the opportunity to have real manly fellowship in our American churches. Somebody say amen again. You'll have a breakfast on Saturday morning and come together and somebody will sing some songs and somebody will give a testimony and you'll eat some eggs and potatoes and then that's it. That's as deep as it goes. It's as deep as it goes. And we are in a mess in America because of the feminization of American Christianity. That's what I'm going to get into here in a second. I'll let Gino jump in there. He's got his hand up. He's waiting. Hang on. I'm going somewhere. Some of you may not be able to take it. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't want to go a different direction. I'm an old man, and I'm single. And I get together with a bunch of other old men that are single. And I start hearing what their complaints are. And we start talking. They started calling me preacher because I kept telling things biblically and about this and about that. But the biggest complaint I hear from old men is about their wives. I'm sorry.
Wives.
I don't want to say I'm against wives because we don't have the physical affection when you're older. The wives don't. They don't let their husbands want to touch them. I'm sorry. I'm maybe going the wrong direction, and I could go a lot deeper, but I'll stop right there.
Well, you're not going the wrong direction because this is all part of it. Hey, Michelle, I know you're listening up there. Michelle, I asked my wife, Michelle, come to the steps over there. She can't come down. This is men only down here, this my multimillion-dollar studio. Hey, Michelle, just as I was getting ready to come down to the show today, I asked Michelle, my wife, of 44 years, who I love more than anything in the world. I said, honey, what's your favorite trait about me? Guys, do you have the courage to go to your wife and ask that? Michelle! And what's she doing? I ask her, what's your favorite trait about me? I'll let her tell you here in a second. You ask your wife that? What's your favorite trait about me? So Gina, one of the things Gino's talking about, what is it that keeps Michelle and I together after 44 years? Why does she love me so much and I love her so much? What is that trait? She told me. I'll get her in a second. Go ahead, Jeff. Jeff Klein, come on in. Wasting time. Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, he's talking. We don't hear you, Jeff. Okay, while we're waiting on Jeff Klein, pull up for me this one. Because this is me kind of this morning. I look around. I saw those masculine Muslims. Would everybody agree with me they're masculine Muslims? Do you agree with me? You say, well, Coach Dave, they don't come out of the right spirit. They don't come out of the right spirit, Coach Dave. Wait, what are you talking about? They don't come out of the right spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. I understand that. What is Christianity? What is masculinity? Pull up the first one, not the only one. Pull that up. I dug this out this morning. Michelle! Hope she didn't pass out. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Hold your ears. Might be something masculine in here that's going to upset you. Think about your church. Think about the men you hang around.
Am I the only one here tonight? Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time?
Stop a minute.
Am I the only one?
Hang on. Go back to the beginning. I'm going to be gut honest with you. Okay? This is me. I'm just confessing. This is me when I go to a church gathering. I don't care what it would be. This is me. So when you listen to this song, you just walked into a room of men. And this is how I relate to this. Go ahead.
Am I the only one here tonight?
You're in this church?
Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the
world? Why won't you talk about a pastor?
Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not. Who thinks of taking all the good we got and turning it back? Hell, I'll be damned. I think I'm turning into my old man.
Where am I the only one?
Am I the only one willing to bleed or take a bullet for being free? Screaming what the hell at my TV for telling me, yeah, are you telling me that I'm the only one willing to fight? Watching the threads of old glory come under.
Freeze it.
Am I the only?
Folks, I'm talking about you men walking into your church and looking around. Put yourself in that position, walk into your church and look around and ask yourself this. Go ahead.
Not brainwashed, making my way through the land of the lost, who sees it as it is and worries about his kids as they try to undo all the things he did. Am I the only one who can't take no more screaming? If you don't like it, there's a freaking door. This ain't the freedom we've been fighting for. It was something more. The only one.
I can't be the only one.
I can't be the only one. Am I the only one who quit singing along every time they play a Springsteen song?
Yeah, that's sissy leftist. Leftism is sissyism.
Am I the only one sitting here still holding on, holding back my tears for the ones who paid with the lives they gave? God bless the USA. I'm not the only one willing to fight for my
the only one.
I'm not the only one. I can't be the only one.
I can't be the only one. I can't be the only one. How did Christianity, sorry, I'll get you, Kevin. How did Christianity get so feminine. How did that happen? How did that happen? This all the genesis of this, yet again, yesterday, I had a conversation with somebody, and they made accusations. This person made accusations against the American church, American Christians, and American Christian men in particular, saying this, basically, why do Christians always want to be stepped on and run over? Why won't Christians stand up and fight for anything? This person said to me, and I didn't have an answer. I didn't have an answer. And I know this right now. If I got my little grandson, little LD, little Dave, if he came down the hill, and I'd say, David, what's the job of men? David's how old, Michelle? He 9. I know what David's answer would be. He would say, Grampy, the job of men is to protect women.
Boom.
That's what LD would tell you. Where did he learn that? I told him that. It's the job of men to protect women. So we look across the culture and the feminization of American Christianity. I'm going to tell you something. You're in a rare church if there's a masculine atmosphere in you. See, I believe this. This is just me. Just me. I want to go to church and then be booked to do something. I don't want to, look, I'm sorry. Somebody amen me. So I know I got a friend out there. I don't want to go feed the poor. I'll let the women go do that. I mean, God bless them. I'll do that. I'll do that. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. No. See, I want to go out somewhere and teach young men it's okay to be a man and what it means to be a man. That's what I want to do. You know what else I want to do? I want to go to church and teach other men how to be a man. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I'm talking about me now. I don't need to go to church and hear a sermon on how to be a good Christian. I know how to be one. I already know how to be one. And to tell people that you want to be Christ-like, Spencer, do this real quickly if you can for me. Go to Google Photos, wherever, Spencer, and pull up pictures of Jesus Christ. And you tell me if you see one masculine picture of Jesus Christ. Just like, huh? What? We're talking about a dude who went to the government and said, you got no authority over me, dude. Do what you got to do. I ain't bowing down. I ain't bowing my knee. I ain't going to, nah. Not this guy. Not this guy. So somewhere along the line, we made Christianity all about love and mercy and grace. And yes, but the Bible teaches that the greater love has no man than this. Can somebody answer it for me? Greater love has no man than this. That he would go out and tolerate homosexuality, that he would go love the sinner. Is that what it says? Greater love has no man than this, then he would what?
Lay his life down.
Lay down his life for his friends. Is that taught in the American church where you go? Is it? Pull those Muslim boys back up there. Allah Akbar, they scream as they go out and to defend their king. We go to Promise Keepers and sing sissy songs in Promise Keepers. Do you understand they're murdering unborn children? Do you understand that they're cutting the penises off of little boys? Do you understand that? Do you understand that your government is exercising in thievery? Do you understand that? And the one who's supposed to raise the standard against it is the American church. And the American church is nowhere to be seen. I got to take a deep breath. You would not believe, I'm going to open it up. You would not believe the stuff that I have right now to show you regarding sissified Christianity. Sissified Christianity. Oh my, why men, pull up number four real quick. Hang on, I'm going to get you in here. Why men hate going to church? Why men hate going to church? Wow, it's a book he wrote. Click on the in Why Men Hate Going to Church, David Murrow identifies, and why it identifies the barriers keeping men, many men from going to church, and explains why it's so hard to motivate the men who do attend. And also takes you inside several fast-growing congregations that are winning the hearts of men and boys. The increase and decrease in male church attendance during the past is what the book talks about. Why? Sometimes I feel like I'm out on an island. Sometimes I feel like I'm, you know what I felt? I felt this last 4 days, 5 days, when those guys are in town, I felt masculinity. No, not chewing tobacco and spitting and cussing and scratching your, no, not that kind of masculinity. Warrior masculinity. Am I the only one? What are we supposed to do? Oh, I got so, let me get you in. I got so much stuff to throw at you. Wow. I'm confessing today. Can I confess? I hate going to church. Would anybody agree with me? I hate going to church.
Amen.
And the reason I hate going to church, and I go, I'm not blaming anybody. Okay, I'm not blaming anybody. Church, for the most part, I think, is feminized to the point where we don't want to say anything harsh. Heaven forbid anyone would stand up in church and say, "Some of these guys ought to hang." They'd run you out of the church, wouldn't they? The women would, oh, they'd be patting their faces, right? Oh, we don't do that. We're love, 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 love. Love, love. And I think it would be honest, a lot of men hate going to church. Kevin, come on in. We're supposed to be the church. We're supposed to be the church. Not go to church. Be the church. Go ahead, Kevin.
We've been betrayed. We've been betrayed, and the Jezebel spirit has overtaken everything in the church. We've been betrayed.
Hey, Kevin, do you know why they locked him up in J6? You know why they locked those guys up there? Because those were the Christian leaders, and they had to get those guys the hell out of mainstream Christianity. They had to throw their asses in jail, because heaven forbid those guys would go back and find 10 more guys just like them. Somebody say amen. Go ahead, Kevin. I cut you off.
Amen. No, that was it. I mean, we have been betrayed. I have been betrayed my entire life. Everything that I came to know my entire life in the last 5-6 years, I've come to realize was a lie. It was deception all the way across, just like you, Coach. And it's this group that has helped open my eyes to how and why we've been betrayed.
Women comprise more than 60% on the screen, 60% of adults in a typical worship service. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that he loves him. Right? Some overseas congregation report 10 women for every man. Men are less likely to lead, volunteer, and give in the church. They pray less, share their faith less, and read the Bible less. Why men hate going to church. They hate it, right? They hate going to church. Be honest. They go because their wife wants to, maybe. Come on in, Dale. You mad at me, Dale?
I'm laughing. I think you need to come back to Louisiana. We just set up yesterday. We got a fishing trip and a hunting trip for the men. So, Coach, just come on back down here. No, Coach, let me tell you what. This is my title of my message is Be Strong in the Lord. And it had nothing to do with all that sissy stuff. I said, American Christianity is a disease. Don't catch it. This is the pastor This is the pastor. I said, you know, if David was alive today and we had the scenario of Goliath, most Americans would run David out of the building. I said, because they would be satisfied with David hitting him in the head with a stone and knocking him down. Because
they would be kicking him a hamburger. They'd be feeding Goliath.
He did not kill Goliath with a stone. He did not kill Goliath with a stone, right? Think about it, coach. You get that picture of what David did. David then went over, right? He's knocked out cold, took Goliath's sword and chopped his head off, right? That we would just lose half of the church right there. Let's just say it. And then David took the head and lifted up one. Well, there goes another corner of the church, right? And then wait, coach, then it wasn't Mardi Gras. He paraded the head through the streets. And then he mounted it in a wall in his house. See, that's real Christianity, coach. That's real Christianity.
David, that's Old Testament. He needed Jesus.
Yeah, let me tell you what.
David was just angry. He should have prayed for Goliath.
Go to Luke chapter 22, right? The dispensation of Jesus going, when I'd sent you out before without money bag and sandals. He says, now I tell you to take a money bag with you. And if you don't have a sword, go buy one. Then read Revelation chapter 2 when you see how Jesus comes back. He's got fire in his eyes and a sword proceeds from his mouth and he smites the nations of the earth. That's Christianity coming, baby, right there.
Jesus said it would be better for you put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself in the deepest part of the ocean then look the other way when they're murdering unborn children in the womb. That would be my one more thing, coach.
So yesterday we were at my granddaughter's birthday. There were some guests there, whatever. And I'm talking to one of the little boys, and he sees Levi coming in. And he sees him, and he looks at him. I said, yeah, that's one of my trees. I said, the three biggest men that here are in this house, I said, you go find them. And I said, they're all my sons. Man, they are like Samson. When I see that picture, coach, with all them Philistines, you know what? That doesn't scare me one bit. I've got three boys that take the jawbone of an axe and strike down 1,000 each one of them themselves, right?
Amen.
Coach, you've seen my son, Levi. Would you want to get kicked or hit by that kid?
No, of course
not. Hell no.
So Dale, what happened to the idea that we teach men in particular in the church to be defenders of the weak, defenders of the innocent, to stand up and speak up, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, to say not only no, hell no, hell no.
And all of my kids grew up in front of the abortion clinic. That's why they had that spirit inside of them. They're warriors.
Amen, amen, amen. So I go back to yesterday. I was talking to this guy and I heard his heart. Why would you want to be a Christian other than salvation? I get that. What is it that would make you want to join the Christian club? What do they do? See, that's folks, look, that's how we end up with things like the Masons and the Vatican, what they call those guys, whatever, the Knights Templar. Because they're looking to plug in their masculinity to Christ. But see, you can't plug in your masculinity if you don't know Christ. You end up with a perverted version of Christian chivalry. You end up with a perverted version of it. And we look at our families. Look, I love all of you. We've been taught a different gospel, which Jesus said, Paul said, was no gospel at all. No gospel at all. They're murdering unborn children with the approval of the church. Some churches are pro-choice, right? Pro-choice? Pro-murder church? A Christian church that believes that women can kill their unborn children? A Christian church? Gino.
I'm just going to tell you, I have a friend. When I learned to know him, he wasn't a Christian. He didn't even want to read the Bible. And I got to know him. We got to talking. And I was trying to tell him about Jesus Christ here a while back. And he's about him being sinless. And he said, no. Jesus committed a sin. I go, oh? Yeah, when he went and turned those tables over in that temple, he got angry. I says, yeah, but Michael, there's a righteous anger. We have a right to be angry. And Jesus portrayed it, and he got to thinking. He said, "Yeah, you're on the right." But he's He's come to say, you know, he's even saying that God brought us together. And I've learned so much from him because he's a man. He stands up and tells a judge that you don't have jurisdiction over me.
Amen.
That takes guts. That's right, man. With those police officers in there with guns on their hips, and he's telling the judge, you know, you don't have jurisdiction over me.
What do you think about the pastors in town who went to jail January 6th, and the other pastors in town didn't even speak about it?
Amen.
They didn't even bring it up to their congregations that one of their Christian brothers had been unjustly imprisoned. Why? Because, see, they have a different form of Christianity that doesn't cost them anything. Jesus said, don't you bring me anything that doesn't cost you something. Jesus said that. And by the way, be angry and sin not doesn't mean don't react. Be angry and sin not means don't let the sun go down on your wrath, dude. If you're angry, act on it. Act righteously on your anger. Don't just look the other way, because to be angry and sin not sometimes means to be absent from duty. Joe Allen, come on in, Joe.
You're right on point, Coach, about the church.
I know I am.
Being feminized, even the Christian man, head of the household, his own home is feminized.
Yes.
Do not know how to prepare his children, his wife, for the end of times and things that happen. We have down in Texas, you can't post a meme in Texas. You get 1 year and $4,000 fine for posting a meme on your phone.
That's Am I the only one? Jeff Klein, come on in.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Tuesday night when all the guys were coming to the garage, I had called a few people to let them know that just remind them to come on in there. So I told them, I said, hey, this week, Tuesday night, Church in the Garage, it's going to be officially called Testosterone Tuesday. I said, you got to come in and meet some of these guys. And some of them, when I said that, they're like, what? They didn't want to say it. You know what I mean? But needless to say, only a couple of them showed up. But we had a couple of them show up, and they enjoyed it. But that was fun.
Well, because, again, we think Christianity is passive, a pushover, a just go along to get along, to love everybody. Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. What? God hates all workers of iniquity. Right? So it's not a personal hatred. I don't hate a homosexual. I hate what the homosexual does. I hate homosexuality. By the way, let me throw this boom at you. This can't. I was driving down the road yesterday. My wife and I were going down to Zanesville. And I was thinking about transgenderism and what a mess all that crap is. And I asked myself this question. Could transgenderism be a form of autism? You guys know what autism is, right? Where does autism come from? Autism, a person that has autism, they're not normal. They're not socially normal. Their mind works in a different way. How did they become autistic? Well, they became autistic through, help me out here, vaccinations, probably. If they would tell us the truth. Could vaccines be causing gender dysphoria? Wow, they ain't going to want to go there, are they? They ain't going to want to go there. What could make a man think he was a woman? Something going on there, isn't it, folks? I don't know. Lorianne, come on in.
Good morning. Just a couple of quick notes. A lot of the folks who are trans are on the spectrum. It's because a lot of them have been bullied so intensely that they literally want to switch to another sex. And I know that for a fact. I had a struggle with some stuff with my daughter when she was bullied in high school so severely when she got jumped and she was bullied by teachers. You're bullied by the staff. You're bullied by the students because you don't fit in with the neurotypical world, but you also don't fit in with the special needs world. And then they want to throw you into a position where you have to go to a transition center and then you can't graduate with a diploma. And then they're bullied in their families. And then you go to church and they're bullied because they don't fit in the church either, because they're told that they're not wanted, because there's no room in the inn. And what I see what's happening with the male and female thing is you've got the garden happening all over again in the church, right? Adam's standing elbow to elbow next to Eve, not protecting her from the serpent that crept in unaware. And he didn't defend her. He didn't say, no, this is what God said. No, you're not going to do that. And you've got fatherless homes because now men don't have to be dads. You've got men who don't want to stand up and be a husband. So you've got generations not understanding what the roles are. And because the churches are bound to a contract that's called the 501c3, they can't talk about any of this stuff or they'll lose their for profit status because they don't have a 508.
Yeah, you're giving them more credit than they deserve. You're giving them more credit. It ain't about that. They're cowardly to begin with. Look, we don't understand. I'm not trying to argue with you, Lauren. Bullying is as old as mankind itself. Bullying is. Now, bullying became a problem when we turned our children over to the government schools. That's the problem. And we were, do you guys understand this? Do you understand the federal government bullies you? Do you understand that? Bullying is a part of life. It's a part of life. And I don't believe, my opinion, that being bullied is going to turn you gay. I don't believe that. I had some kind of characteristic that made me seem effeminate or whatever, and then caused me maybe to act upon that. But I got bullied a lot. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm 5'6" on a good day. I was always a little guy. And no excuses, man. I had to fight back. So I'm not disagreeing with you, although I am disagreeing with you. I think it's another whatever. Hey, let me move on. Sorry, Lauren. I get it. Look, we all walk a different path with each of our children. All of us do. There's a lot of reasons why.
Children, real quick, Coach, when you don't have a dad at home to protect you and know that you're safe, you can't walk into another environment and say, oh, here I am, because mom is going all over the place. Mom doesn't feel safe either.
Of course, that does not.
And then you go to church, and then you've got these feminine pastors who don't stick up for women and don't stick up for the family and don't let men be men.
Amen. Dave, come on in.
Yeah, Lorraine, thanks for sharing. We're not taught to stand up for ourselves. That's why I like the movie Christmas Story, right? The little guy was being bullied by these guys, and finally one day he said, you know what? I had enough of this. He didn't become trans. He didn't say, I need to become a woman. That's not what he did. He said, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to be bullied anymore. I've shared this before. High school, I knocked a kid out and didn't get suspended because the principal realized the guy I knocked out had exactly what he had coming. He knew that I taught him a lesson, and he realized it was finished. We probably weren't going to do this again. And that was it. But that's gone. That's gone. I would have been suspended. I probably been on the some kind of a list, right? Government list. I'm a domestic terrorist.
You'd be in a juvie home.
Or I'd be in a juvenile home, right? No joke. I mean, this is where we're in a society, but that started in the church. That's the church's first.
It did. Now listen. I'm not trying to step on toes, dude. I'm just telling the truth. Okay. I'm just telling the truth. Our little LD, our grandson, is homeschooled. The masculine influences in his life is his daddy and me. We don't send him to school to be feminized by some teacher to teach him all kinds of whatever. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. And in a lot of homes, daddy is so busy working, they didn't have time to raise his kids. Oh, he may go to a football game. He may go to a basketball game. But he's leaving the training of the children over to the mother for the most part and public schools where most of the teachers are women. Hey, Spencer, that would be a good one real quickly. What percentage of American teachers are female? See if you can find that real quick. What percentage of, huh? Oh, I got something I'm going to dump on you in a second. What do you find out, Spencer? What percentage of American teachers are women? Here it is. 77% of public school teachers are female. Hey, Vinny, that would be a boom. Huh? 90% of elementary boom. Teachers, 90% of elementary school teachers are women. Women teaching boys to behave like women. I'm just telling you, just telling you, if a little boy's got any testosterone at all, any spunk at all, he'll soon be over in the corner with his nose on the chalkboard. I did that many, many times. The teacher, can anybody say amen? Anybody say amen? Put a dot on the chalkboard and go put your nose on it for 5 minutes so you learn to shut up and behave. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm all over it now. I'm all over. I got something I want to go to. Sheila, come on in. Good to hear from you, Sheila.
What we don't go to is the root. Christ didn't do any paganism, Gentile, anything when he was on planet Earth. None of it. And we call it Christianity, and none of it is him. We're doing pagan and Gentile feasts and festivals, not the Lord's feast and festivals, because we were told they were Jewish. They're not. See in Leviticus 23, everything we've been told is a lie. And so for the CIA to say, we're going to lie to these people until everything they believe is false, it's been a lie from the very beginning. If we go back to the root, we wouldn't do any of this and call it Christianity. That's blasphemy. By the
way, it started out as home churches, right? Home churches. They gathered house to house. Why did it have to gather from house to house? Well, for safety, for one reason. Safety and relationship building for another. A lot of you watching, including me, spend a lot of our Christianity going to a church where there are 500 people and then you don't even know them. You don't even know them. But you'd have a men's breakfast on Saturday morning where everybody came in there and somebody got up there and talked about whatever it was and then go home. And that was your testosterone for 6 months. I'm telling you the truth. Pull up for me if you can. Number three, David Murrow, Christianity Feminized. Hang on, listen. I know some of you women out there don't have a masculine mate. I understand the frustration it brings. Michelle! I want you to tell when I ask her, what's your favorite trait about me? Michelle, I'll get her to answer for you. While we're doing that, how Christianity is feminized. Scroll down that, Spencer. By David Murrow. Business guru said, the system's perfectly designed to give you the results you're getting. Christianity's primary delivery system, a local church, is perfectly designed to reach women and older folks. Hey, Benny, that would be a double boom. The church is designed not to find active young men who want to advance the kingdom of God. No, no. Older women and older folks. Well, that's why our pews are filled with them. But the church system offers little to stir the masculine heart, so men find it dull and irrelevant. The more masculine the man, the more likely he is to dislike church. Vinny, boom! Is Vinny even out there to boom for me today?
Boom.
Huh? The more masculine the man, the more likely he is to dislike church. Young men in particular seem particularly disenchanted with organized religion. Older women flock to it. Let me read that again. The more masculine the man, the more likely he is to dislike church. Young men in particular seem particularly disenchanted with organized religion. However, older women love organized religion. Why? Because men and young adults are drawn to risk, challenge, and adventure. But these things are discouraged in the local church. Instead, most congregations offer a safe, nurturing community, an oasis of stability and predictability. Studies show that women and seniors gravitate towards stability and predictability. Although our official mission is one of adventure, the actual mission of most congregations is making people feel comfortable and safe, especially the longtime tithers. Doesn't say that, but I'll say it. How did Christianity, founded by a man and 12 male disciples, become the bailiwick of women? Look, I love women. I'm married one. I married the best one on the earth. It ain't about women. Know your role, dude. There exists a pattern of feminization in Christianity going back at least 700 years, according to the guy who wrote the book. But the ball really got rolling in the 1800s with the dawning of the Industrial Revolution. Large numbers of men went to work in the mines, the mills, and the factories away from home. And women stayed behind and began remaking the church in their image. Men went to work, women took care of the home, and took over the church. The Victorian era saw the rise of church nurseries, Sunday schools. Folks, these are all mercy ministries. Because the men were gone, the church had to become the father. So they came up with nurseries, Sunday schools, choirs, building circles, ladies' teas, soup kitchens, girls, all things women do. I love women. I love them. Soon the very definition of a good Christian had changed. Boldness and aggression were out. Passivity and receptivity were in. Christians were to be gentle, sensitive, nurturing, focused on home, family, rather than accomplishing career. Believers were not supposed to like sex, tobacco, dancing, or other worldly pleasures. The godly were always calm, polite, and sociable. Let me ask you something here. You ever run into us, Christian men didn't like sex? The Victorian spirituality still dominates our churches. Those of us who grew up in church hardly notice it. We can't imagine things any other way. But a male visitor detects the feminine spirit the moment he walks in the door. Somebody say amen. Oh, I'm feeling good to
say amen.
A male visitor detects the feminine spirit the moment he walks in the sanctuary. He may feel like Tom Sawyer in Aunt Polly's parlor. He must watch his language, mind his manner, and be extra polite. It's hard for a man to be real in church because he must squeeze himself into this feminine religious mold. Boom!
Boom.
Men, if you felt out of place in church, it's not your fault. If you've tried and failed to get a men's ministry going in your church, it's not your fault. Hey, Glenn, you listen? If you can't get your buddies interested in church, it's not your fault. The church system is getting the results it's designed to get. Till the system changes, men will continue to perish both inside and outside our congregations. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. A feminized church? Some guys are happy with church just as it is and see no need for change. But to see church through the eyes of a typical guy, it's intimidating for a man to hold hands in a circle, to cry in public, or to imagine falling deep in love with another man, even if his name is Jesus. If we're going to be fishers of men, we got to do a better job considering men's needs and exceptions. Jesus did it, so must we. I like Mark Trump because he's a man's man. I like Randy because he's a man's man. If he doesn't like what's going on, he'll open his mouth and say so. He doesn't go along to get along. They're not my favorite. Randy and Mark Trump aren't my favorite. Do you understand? Do you understand why a lot of women get mad at their husbands watching this show? Do you understand it? I'm a man's man. I'm a coach. Women don't like to be yelled at. Women don't like to be I'm not picking on women. I married one. I've got 8 granddaughters. I love women. I love men, though. I love God's order. Mark Trump, come in.
Coach, when you serve Jesus, you ain't got to worry about worshiping a man. You ain't got to worry about it. You're serving okay. Jesus. So Amen. The men are beside you. And the ones vying for people to serve them, they're beside me somewhere, but I don't worship men. Couple comments. Noah didn't go to church. Noah didn't go to church. It ain't being masculine Christianity is not about fighting. It's about doing. It's about challenging stupidity, especially.
Amen.
The other comment, Coach, is having a masculine religion is not always the best. Unless you're, you know, the Catholic religion got that right, I guess. All male, but look what they do, Coach.
Yeah, oh, man.
So you got to be careful. You got to be careful with men who don't worship Jesus. It's Amen. About worshiping Jesus, Coach.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Serving him, not being served and protected by him. It's like anything else. Look, in our family, I'm the head of the family. I protect the family until they get out of line. And then when they get out of line, then there's consequences to get out of line. They call him the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father. I'm going to make Catholics mad. Why do you have to go through Jesus' mother when you can go to his father? Somebody help me out with that. Got to go through his mother.
Amen.
Wes.
Hey, good morning, Coach. I think after listening to this conversation today, I think the Amish had it right all along. They got, you know, they got strong men, feminine women, big, beautiful families, great communities. Yep. I mean, have you seen what they've been doing in North Carolina, building homes for all those people that are displaced? And that storm that came through a couple weeks ago or whatever, I heard a story that some insurance surveyors came out to see the damage on the Amish community, and they couldn't tell how much damage there was because the community came together and had already rebuilt the home.
Isn't that something? Now, Wes, and everybody out there, listen, there's extremes in everything, right? We got to be careful in extremes. You can take it too far. Men only, men in charge, rolling with an iron fist. No. Jesus was both masculine and feminine. He had both sides. He's very, very merciful. Yet he went to the government and called them a brood of vipers and whitened sepulchers full of dead men's bones. He didn't go in there and tell them how much God loved them. He went in there and rebuked them. Why? Because he was a man. That's what men do. Men speak truth to power. Lauren. Your hand was up. Maybe you didn't want to come in. If you do, come back in. Mark?
I just wanted to make a comment about, it's a learning lesson. What if Coach's neighbor who runs Legends, that pagan concert venue, millions of dollars.
Yep.
What if he set up a disaster relief organization down in Swannanoa? What if that guy, Coach, over there on the hill beside you, brought in the Amish to Swannanoa, to Asheville? What if? Do y'all know that the Burner Camp, the Burning Man Festival Camp, brought in the Amish to Asheville? So you got this pagan group volunteering to buy land and move in people. I mean, it was a huge deal I helped set up, but I was kind of conflicted, Coach. Remember I talked to you about it?
Yep.
How do you serve the pagan Burning Man Festival camp in Asheville? How do you do that? We're Christian, Coach. So I pose that as a challenge as you're out in the world serving. You're running across these people out there doing things, and their hearts aren't for Christ necessarily. They might be a different Christ or a different Jesus. But what do you do about it? You serve. You serve Jesus.
Said those who are not against us are for us. That's what Jesus said.
And you serve Jesus. You ain't got to worry about serving him, Coach. You show up at his camp, you're serving Jesus. What'd Paul do? He went into the pagan camps. That's what he did.
Amen. Amen. So, running out of time here real quickly. I want all of you to ask yourself this question. Wherever you're going to church right now, what is it your pastor has asked the men to do? Say it again. Evaluate where you go to church. What is it outside the church that your pastor has asked the men to do? Quickly, Jeff.
Well, he kind of knows they ain't going to do anything. Pastor Matt's kind of manly, but the men in the church aren't. Here's the example when you said this morning, talking about 77% women teachers. When he asked, Pastor Matt will ask for, hey, what has the Lord done for you this week? Anybody got praise on your heart? You'll have at least 10, 12, 14 women speak. Yeah. And maybe one or two men. That's it.
It's where we are. Rochelle, quickly, I want to get you in here.
Oh, thanks, Coach.
Good morning, team. Yeah, we always choose the wrong thing. We choose the wrong banking system. We got this debt banking system. We got this socialist education plan. And we chose the wrong type of psychology as well. If you look at the differences between where we are with Freud and what mainstream psychology has taken, maybe versus somebody like Adler. Anyway, if you look at this stuff, you see why men don't want to go to church. Because we've said, oh, you need to lay on a couch and talk about your problems and get all touchy-feely instead of what somebody like Adler was saying, where he said, no, these emotions are brought on by maybe a inferiority complex, and we need to teach people how to channel their passions into something productive.
Well, I got to run, Rochelle. Got to run, folks. Let's bring back manhood, masculine manhood into our church. See you tomorrow.